The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There's no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, everyone. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Welcome to JFG tonight. It's a sad day because I see a bait and switch being pulled by your intellectual class, the right wing. That's very frustrating to me. It's these people who have told you to vote Trump. They weren't worried about Trump increasing legal immigration during the election. They told you to abandon your voting power to a man who was telling you he was going to increase legal immigration in the form of, we're gonna tack green cards to a college degree. We're gonna give H-1B visas for the Indians in the tech sector. We're gonna get good people. And suddenly, they think that it's worth anything in Christmas season, once that Trump is already elected, to start a conversation about how they disagree with H-1B visas. And the conversion of American demographics to a fully Indian society. And now suddenly it's a problem, but you got your guy in power who was telling you he was going to give H-1B visas, who was telling you all of the lines so that you could understand in no unclear terms that you were going to get legal immigration to the max. Night King says, I want a visa for the U.S. as a white European engineer, but it's hard to find a company that will go through this process with you. Oh yeah, because it's so mechanized and easy. When you're hiring a low-level employee from India, and it's like the form write themselves, but then it's harder for a European engineer. Oh, it's complicated. Oh, how about a J-1 as a visiting scholar? And it's like, yeah, the white people are disadvantaged in this process simply because of the numbers, the number game. There's all these Indians waiting to enter, and they're willing to create any narrative and willing to create an impression of a need in those big California businesses that are spammed with money, that have infinite money, basically, because of the tech bubble and because of the structure of the stock market. And so you end up having a pool of Indians inside the tech sector. And yes, it ends up with these people. Someone was pointing out on social media, I retweeted his tweet. It does end up with, oh yeah, so now you have tech CEOs that are Indians and they censor you and they don't have an understanding and a living of American morality and the philosophies of free speech. They come from a nation that's completely corrupt and where, okay, if you pay enough, we're gonna do this. If you pay enough, we're gonna censor these guys. If we pay enough, we're going to interfere with this business. Saturn Shine says, why can't they do it in their own country? Exactly. With COVID-19, work from home. What's so critical about the special knowledge of these Indians that they're the only one apparently capable of operating Google? And a Tim Hortons in Canada. What is so special? I suspect that the phenomenon we're seeing is that California is being made to be unlivable for a white person. And so for the same salary, it's worth it for an Indian. If it's his entry step into America, it's worth it for an Indian to come here. He gets a bigger salary. He gets those big salaries from the tech sectors. and he can start trying to charm someone locally to marry and eventually stay even without a professional endorsement. But what we're doing basically is we are spamming money into sectors that are very likely to not need all these Indians and certainly not need them forever. Eventually, you'll get an economic crash. Suddenly, there's no more money running around. And suddenly, these Indians are released into the U.S. and many of them will have found other tactics to stay in the U.S. And we end up with the social cost. We have basically a tech sector that is dumping its social cost of demographic change onto the U.S. population. And we've been saying this for years. It would have been very easy for the Trump supporters of the center-right to say it during the election. Me and Nick Fuentes saw it. So it's not like it was hard to see. Trump was very open about all this. But now is not the time. Now that you voted your guy in, and that he's named at the top of his immigration council, he's named an Indian who's totally for the increase of H-1B and who's a pro-immigration militant. That's what you're going to get. You get what you fucking deserve. That's my point. Don't you start dissociating from the point that you told your crowd to vote for. And this is where I'm disgusted by what we're seeing. These center-right people who today are telling you, well, I'm for Trump in general, but I'm not for H-1B visas. Maybe we could try convincing Trump that it's not good. No. You vote for H-1B visas. You can't make it. If you can't make it a priority to the point where you're able to say, I'm going to vote for Kamala just because Trump won't fix this issue, then you are worth nothing intellectually and politically. You have decided to cancel your own political force and the political force of your own audience. Now live with it. You are for H-1B visas. What they're trying to do is, before Trump even comes in, they want to dissociate from specific segments of the Trump policies so that in 3 years from now, when we're faced with an increase of Indian presence in the U.S., they're going to be able to say, oh, well, I was always against H-1B visas. I was always against it. I voted Trump, but I was voting for Trump for the other policies. By the way, so I did some research and I found out that the ring I was talking about on the last show is an actual gold ring. It got sold for around $1,000 in an auction on the internet. A similar ring. So it wasn't a scam as it turned out. So I got to pawn it today. Of course, when you pawn it, you have to sell it below the market price. But I got a good $600 for it, which is many person. It's 1,200 person profit on my initial investment. So I'm rolling in cash. I sold my Bitcoin at the top of the market. I sold some gold. I'm profiting. I'm getting ready, honestly, I'm getting ready for harsh economic times because I think we're going to be faced with the economic crash of the kind that we may not have known very much in our lives. I think the economy is due for a crash, so it's time to cash out if you have investments and trades. It's time to have cash because let me tell you, in 6 months or a year from now, everyone's going to be thirsty for cash. Unless we get a Fed expansionist policy of crazy proportions, but it's very hard to imagine how the Fed will outdo itself compared to what they did in COVID. You know, in COVID, they created money like never before. It's very hard to imagine that the Fed will outdo itself. So unless it outdoes itself and continue on to the exponential direction, if there has to be an economic crisis, it's going to have to happen in the next 5 years. And personally, I would recommend concentrate on value, on preserving value that will sustain an economic crisis. Have a home for yourself in which you don't have to pay rent. white nationalist says, I made The Big Short in 2019. Okay, you shorted, I don't remember. Was it a good short in 2019? I don't remember. Oh, so it was the COVID stuff. Okay, so you bet on the COVID stuff and you got out of profit. Okay, well, that's good. But yeah, I would recommend think about your survival, think about your food reserves, think about having cash and not needing it. Most importantly, live at the bottom, live low profile. I looked at all my expenses. I don't want any expenses except survival. That is what you should have. We have some questions coming on the chat. By the way, if you'd like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey Super Chats are my favorite way to receive support for the show. Alternatively, you can also use Entropy. The link to Entropy is in the description below. Chef Marv says, I'm mostly in 0-3 months U.S. Treasury bonds. Yields about 5.3%. Very liquid. Yes, I believe that you should be liquid. I'm not saying there won't be a last ride up with Bitcoin. Maybe there's going to be a last ride up. But if there's a last one, it will be a shortened time. And so personally, I pulled out most of my investment, most of my assets into cash. I believe that we are headed, not necessarily next week, but we are headed toward a crash of the economy. Ariel Suarez says, still feel kind of strange, but very pleasant to have JF back. Well, I'm happy to be back. It's very disconcerting to be passing 2 months without a show. Let me tell you, it's my life now, the show, and I intend to die in front of the camera. Chef Marv says, not at all. The 10-year is at 4.5, peaked at 4.9 in 2023. I don't know about these things. Don't necessarily listen to me for economic counsel. I'm telling you what I perceive, what I see, and I'm a man of instincts. I don't have to be right. But let me tell you, I've been right a lot about understanding the Bitcoin waves that were coming. And I've been right a lot about telling you guys when to buy Bitcoin. Now, I'm such a conservative thinker. I may be selling Bitcoin too early. Maybe. But I failed in the past, you know, at detecting when things go up, when things go down. And I don't play games anymore. I follow my instinct, and I know I've been fucked before. Not to the point of losing much money, but to the point where my hopes have been disappointed at times. Like the last bull run, I was thinking we were headed to 100K. We didn't make it, and I missed the opportunity to sell. I'm never going to miss an opportunity to sell anymore. I'm a rational being and a conservative decision maker on the market. Stephen Robinson says, as long as you're happy with your value, sell. Exactly. What I've learned with time and with failure is that if you're happy when you're where you're standing with your gain of value, if you're extremely happy with it, cash out. Cash out and guarantee it for yourself, because it's not going to be like this forever. It's very easy to fall in the mentality of things are going to be awesome forever. And it's very easy when you've seen such a crazy bull market for the Bitcoin economy. It's very easy to think it's going to go on forever, but it doesn't go on forever. If you're happy with what you have, if it's enough for you to live well, cash it out. Cash it out. If it's enough for you to pay yourself a house, if it's enough for you to reimburse your full mortgage, free yourself from the pressures of society. Stephen Robinson says, Jeff, did you sell your Pepe though? I sold the Pepe. When I say I sold my Bitcoins, it means I sold the whole thing. So that is, in the end, you listen to me if you want, but there are some people who are getting scammed by Trump and is pushed intellectuals that were unconditionally supporting his legal immigration project. I said, if you want to understand what's wrong about American politics, look no further than the fact that we are currently having a debate about H-1B visas after Trump was elected, after he told the population in no unclear terms that he was going to bring infinite Indians to the USA. If you voted for Trump, you have to acknowledge the wrongs of it. And I'm not saying that there's not an argument to be made where you would say, okay, I accept the trade-off. I accept USA to become a open door inflow of Indians, just like Canada. And I accept that the USA will not be a white nation anymore. If you were to say this, I would say, oh, well, at least you're not being deceptive. But that's not the mindset in which people are. The mindset in which people were 2 months ago was to say, don't worry, JF. Trump has to say these things, but that's just to get into the system. Trump is outjewing the Jew, JF. Trump is playing their game. He's telling them they're going to get immigration, but he has a plan. No, he doesn't have a plan. And the reason a politician comes out during election period and says something unpopular with his own base is because he's trying to establish a contract with you. He's trying to make it so that you can never argue that he didn't warn you. That's what happened. Isaac Brock says, did you already cover the guy that ratioed Elon and got suspended? I didn't know about this. You'll have to send me a link. But I've seen some of the interactions with Elon, and that's what we're talking about today. And the people are in a state of self-deception. So look at this guy. Trump did not say we would get infinite Indians. He said good people. What do you think it's going to be when it's good people? You think Trump will rise as a Nazi-style Hitlerian selector of the white European phenotype? You think he's just going to let in white chads with perfect jawline? No. When Trump says it's going to be good people, he means it's not going to be Mexican criminals. It's going to be Indian tech employees with average IQ 105 rather than 100. That's what good people means. And that's all that the state will ever do. Because that's the only measure they have. They're going to be like, oh, yeah, well, here's a good immigrant, an Indian who will make money in the tech sector. Good people doesn't have to mean what you think it means. Can someone explain what happened here? Did he delete the account? This was the interaction that Isaac Brock was mentioning. Elon Musk was making his pro-immigration point. No, we need more, like double that number yesterday. The number of people who are super talented engineers and super motivated in the USA is far too low. Think of this like a pro sports team. If you want your team to win the championship, you need to recruit top talent wherever. And someone ratioed him in the sense of getting more likes than Elon himself on Elon's platform. That was quite fantastic. He says, my son graduated with honors with electrical and computer engineering degrees in 2023. He cannot get an interview, let alone a job. Any white male he knew in college can't get jobs either. Many are currently working in data center jobs that don't require their education. People are saying that this person would have been suspended. Something went wrong. I don't know. I don't know if he got suspended. We'd have to verify this. I was just sent this link I was just sent this link today, but because sometimes your account is suddenly popular and the system detects it and automatically kicks you. I don't see anything that violates the rules in his message, but he did ratio Elon, and that's in the context where we learned that Sriram Krishnan, this Indian guy, has been named as top counselor, top senior policy advisor for artificial intelligence. And of course, one of the big issues is that you have a whole system in California of gatekeeping over the tech jobs, and it's being taken over by the Indians. And the Indians are making sure that I don't know what's the mechanism, because the same thing happened to a donut shop in Canada, Tim Hortons. Donut shops and Silicon Valley, same story, okay? Something happens that leads to only Indians working there. Now, I'm not even saying it's necessarily the Indians themselves that are self-selecting, although it could be, Could be that you end up with an Indian HR woman and she starts doing only hiring of Indians. But maybe it's also just the mechanism of hiring, and you have these HR women that become habituated to importing Indians for the job, and the Indians are good at making themselves look okay on paper because they have some college degree in computer science, and sometimes that's better. Somehow that's better than Papa JF, because Papa JF knows how to. There's not a job made in Silicon Valley that I couldn't do. Let's be clear. Maybe I couldn't operate a quantum computer. Okay, let's leave it on the side. 99% of the jobs in Silicon Valley, I have the technical knowledge and I have more than the intellectual tools needed to operate it. You name it. I can learn any programming language. I know a lot of programming language. There is not one of these jobs that I couldn't do. But it's easier on paper to hire a random Indian with no history attached to his name than to hire a guy who's being covered negatively in the Daily Beast. So this kind of society hates its white people, but welcome random Indians because, oh, well, it fits so well. They do have this online college degree that does computer science. It looks good. But in this process, you have a replacement. You have a replacement because Silicon Valley is not even willing anymore to go into its own American white population and be attractive to them. And that's one thing also I feel. I feel that California living is being made extremely hard for white people with the liberal environment, anti-white hatred, anti-white employment practices, CPS interventions, forced public schools, attacks on the white family. And many of these attacks will not affect Indian immigrants either because they don't have a family and they go full workplace ethics and stuff. Or maybe they have a family, but they don't get targeted with as much anti-white hate as I get. And so we're making the same job really more attractive to the Indian migrant than to the local white. Because the local white wants to flee the liberals, the Indian migrant is left alone by the liberal. That's a big problem. Alt-White sends $25. Thank you so much for the super chat. He says, I'd rather have a million college-educated Indians or Chinese than 25 million unvetted illegal brown people from every shithole corner of the planet. That is extremely dangerous. And thank you for the donation. But don't you start with this talking point with me. Don't you get me started. You will pay the price long-term. Long term, your country will be shit. Okay? I cannot insist on this strong enough. Do not make the error and the false dichotomy of thinking that, oh, well, they're better Aren't they better, JF? Hey, JF, I found an Indian that's not criminal. Isn't that better than a criminal? Fuck you. Because you are not willing to live in India, okay? And there's a reason for it. And if you think that the government employees that are in charge of immigration are capable of filtering India out of the Indians by looking at a CV, you are fucking deluded. You are dangerous to yourself and dangerous to the others around you, okay? What will happen? Yes, regression to the mean. Isaac Brooks is bringing it up. What will happen, no matter how much you select, is that the more your society becomes Indian, the more it will look like India. And it's not because you selected out of it that it won't decay to this level. It will. Because by importing the Indian talent, you also import the talent of producing an India-like civilization. And it will be no time before your country is covered with people from a different race who approach politics in a different way. And you will lose your American liberties because you have imported people who are incapable of honoring them, incapable of living by them. And it's not because you have one Vivek or one who's this guy who's the fan of Trump and he makes documentaries about Trump, a la Michael Moore, kind of. No matter how many individual observations like this you have, the world always converges back to maximal exploitation of the niche that is available to them. And as long as it will be Dinesh D'Souza, that's his name, as long as there will be a niche available for highly reproductive, large family Indians to populate this country, they will expand. And they will expand in the exact direction, independent of where you start. Your country always, biology always expands within the available niche. And the available niche of being a leftist Indian, favorized by a leftist system, voting for more taxes and less liberty and more corruption, is the exact niche that you're opening up here. Now, we've had these discussions for years, but what happened this Christmas? Was there a Christmas miracle? Did the Grinch of Christmas come and mess with right-wing minds on the internet? Because I can't believe what I'm reading on X and what I'm reading on my own super chat. Alt-White, like, your name is Alt-White. Where's your racial pride? Where has this gone? It's like the last 8 years of arguments and my whole show and my whole life have served nothing. Because there you are, making an argument for Indian immigration but by telling me, Jeff, they're better than the Mexicans. Holy shit. Alt-White sends another $25. Thank you so much. He says, in a perfect world, America would return to 90% white. But at least Elon is taking a step in the right direction. It's not a step in the right direction to be converting from illegal Mexican migrants to legal Indian immigration. It is not a step in the right direction. The right direction is the affirmation that white people have interest. They have political interest, and there is not a people known on this planet that is fit to preserve the state of society of a white civilization. Not a single people. Not the Inuits, not the Native Americans, not the good North African that, oh, are not committing crimes, not the Indians that are capable of programming in JavaScript, not the Australian, not no one, no one, not even the fucking Australians who are born from the same European people, not even them are capable of keeping a place where you can be non-vaccinated and left alone by the state. Do you understand? HH White Pill says, Mexicans are no threat to me with the exception of drunk driving. Indians can take my entire soul, an ability to live because they are capable. Yes. I mean, yes, the statistics on the Indians in America is not that they become street criminals. It's just that they become employed. And yes, that's still a problem. Ariel Suarez sends a super chat. He says, I don't recall well that the mechanisms behind regression to the mean. Is it because of the effects of aggregate genetics within a given population? The more an individual's IQ score or trait diverges from their population mean, the rarer the combination of alleles necessary for it. Here's the mechanism of regression to the mean. So never forget what an individual is. What is an individual? An individual lives in a society. But what is an individual? An individual is the not so accidental, but almost accidental encounter of a shuffled set of genes that is unique in its making, that is more random than a cryptographic key even is, certainly more random than a bunch of dice thrown on the table. It's like 3 billion dice thrown on the table with 3 billion other dice thrown on the table, forming one individual, that is, the dice roll of which chromosomes of your father you're going to get and the dice roll of which chromosomes from your mother you're going to get. And so an individual is a highly unlikely thing when you think of it that way. It's a highly unlikely throw of the die in a very large space of possibilities. So much so that even if we all look like each other, you know, it's amazing when you think about it that we look anyhow each other, that we look in any way like each other. So you have a highly varying and unlikely meeting of genes in an individual. Now, when you talk about individuals at the edge of the bell curve, so the very, very intelligent and the very, very unintelligent, you are talking about things that evolution didn't need, okay? Evolution doesn't need 140 IQ people. It doesn't. There's what's happening when you have a very intelligent person. In fact, I suspect that evolution right now doesn't even need 110 IQ people. What happens when you have an exceptional measure of any kind, whether it's intelligence or not, but let's do it about intelligence. When you have a out-of-bound edge case, it's an accident. And given that you... Imagine you were to roll, 20 dice. 20 dices. You roll them and you get 5, 5, 5. All of the dice fall on 5. That is an extremely unlikely pattern compared to the other patterns, which is the average pattern. The average you should expect is to have a bunch of scrambled numbers. Some of them repeat themselves once, some of them twice, some of them 3 times in your set. But yeah, you shouldn't expect to have 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5. So the question of the regression to the mean is the simple statistical observation that when you have an edge case for which there is not even a pressure, you know, no one wants, the dice are not loaded to fall on 5. The dice just happen to fall on 5 20 times in a row. The next roll of dice that you do is extremely unlikely to be as rare as the roll of dice that you just did. So basically, when you observe a edge case, very likely the repeat of the experiment will lead to less of an edge case. The more you are at the edge, the more it's almost statistically impossible that you will outdo yourself. So those are the statistical rules of regression to the mean. You can see that it's a purely mathematical phenomenon. You can see that you don't even need to understand about genes. You can do it with dice. With dice, it is also true that a rare pattern is extremely unlikely to be followed by an even rarer pattern. In fact, it is very likely to be followed by a very normal pattern. So, that is what regression to the mean is. And there are all sorts of equivalents in the mathematics of the genes and the biology and the evolution. And you can even insert natural selection in this. As long as there's not a strong selective natural selection pressure for people to be of extremely high intelligence, you have to see high intelligence as an accident rather than a phenomenon in and of itself. You would be wrong to look for what in this world requires 140 IQ, because people have been surviving in this world without 140 IQ, and most people don't have 140 IQ. Therefore, there is no natural selection pressure for that level of intelligence. Therefore, it's an edge case and an accident. And an accident, by its nature, is very unlikely to happen twice. Project Mayhem says, "Hey, Jeff, glad you didn't go to work for Elon. And you should be too. It would have sped the emergence of TRP. Only a matter of time until Elon would come to the conclusion, in order to win, we need to modify our genetics." Yes, and in a sense, yes, I was playing with the devil by saying, hey, I could work. But at the same time, I was thinking, you know, being in that position maybe is the best place for combating the revolutionary phenotype. Because if I become an influential engineer in the world of AI, certainly I could use this as credibility, perhaps to publish a book on AI ethics. Chef Marv says they want to do it with IT jobs. What they did with several others, have it in the shit white people want to do category and make sure no one can explain why in 20 years from now. Exactly. So you've made a hellhole to live in California. So much so that someone like me, it's like, even if you were to pay me $500,000, I would go there with some kind of hesitation, you know? So you make the life unlivable for white people in a leftist, hyper anti-white environment. And then you say, oh, well, no one wants to do these jobs. Well, and so we're going to get the Indians. Well, maybe it's because you harass the Indians a little less. Maybe it's because, with preferential hiring, I might pass the bump of the HR ladies that never want, you know, the HR ladies, no matter the situation, they're always like, oh, well, your CV doesn't really fit that job. I would rather, if I were you, I would go to this place and apply for that kind of job. Like, this fits more in your history. Like, bitch, the world is made of people who have dreams and who know that they can step over boundaries. You are a product of Silicon Valley. There you are being hired by a Silicon Valley company, and you can't get it out of your head that maybe the things that I've done in the past are not exactly the things that are in my future. And maybe the general intelligence that I've applied in the problems of the past, maybe I can apply it to a new situation. Like, no, they're stuck in the, oh, well, you don't have the exact college degree that we necessitated. Bro, I could have taught these children their college degree. In computer programming. Project Mayhem says, I don't think the HR Shanikas would appreciate your biography, Jeff. No, I don't think they would. And that's your problem right there. This is what I was trying to explain to Elon in this whole thing. I said, great job for Elon Musk to be recognizing that the mental differences between humans are far bigger than the physical differences. That is not something we hear often from mainstream personalities like him. Credit to Elon Musk. He basically said, yeah, you know, there are mental differences between people, and that matters a lot when you try to hire an engineer. But I said, as for the shortage of talent in engineering, there is no such shortage. There is a difficulty for Silicon Valley to find the talent that's out there, to take the big risk for a big reward by hiring outsiders. For instance, I've offered my services to xAI. I would have killed it. I would have innovated in ways that could truly take AI to an entire separate level, and that still could. How does talent even make itself noticed by Silicon Valley? How do I get Elon to want to hire me with all the risks involved and the bad media coverage around me? In addition, I'm a man, so I can't even offer to host Elon's babies in my belly in exchange for the job. I'm not trying to make this about myself, because in the end, I'm kind of relieved that I don't have to move to the shithole of San Francisco. But it's to illustrate the problem, a conformist society that plays whack-a-mole trying to oppress its free thinkers doesn't deserve to be able to find its own talents. No engineers but those we make. If we limit our society to these HR retard women, if we limit everything that happens in innovative fields to be ultimately the decision of an HR fat woman, we're going to get the society we deserve, which is a society with zero innovation. Zero. Because innovation requires balls. It requires boldness. And there's one thing that HR departments are incapable of doing. It's bold choices. The bold choice for Elon would have been to say, let's get this guy. He's talking about, we need to add psychosocial layers to Grok. I want to try it. I want to see where it goes. See, Silicon Valley was built by people who wanted to see where it will go. And let me tell you, it's very hard from the kid that I was with a 14400 baud modem capable of trading bits one at a time and capable of exchanging maybe a few kilobytes per second of data transfer. It requires boldness to be looking at this as a 14-year-old teenager, this gigantic modem, and say, this is the future. This is where I want to live. Did you have this boldness? Because I did. Because I, as a 14-year-old teenager, could look at this 14400 baud modem and say, this is the future. No matter what happens there, I want to be in there. And I ended up making a life of the internet. And there were other things. 99% of the world around me was less interesting than this modem. Because this modem allowed direct communication from computer to computer across phone lines. Those are the kind of people who built the Silicon Valley that we know. The Silicon Valley that we know today is populated by the parasites of these innovators, the people who got there after and who's like, oh, yeah, well, I have a job. Yeah, what are you? Oh, I'm an HR selector. I select people. Would you be able to do the job? Would you be able to do the job that you're selecting people for? No. Project Mayhem says, mid-brained tech bros winning equals GDP go up. Galaxy brand JF fan winning equals preserving your genetics. Exactly. Because no matter the circumstance in which you're attracting all these Indians, no matter what it is that's so great about white civilization, I don't even have to be right about this. Like, I don't even have to know what's great about white civilization. You know that it's great because people are headed to it. You know that it's great because so many people want to enter it. And you know it's unsustainable because letting in too many of the people who want to enter in guarantees that it won't be desirable as much as it is now. Those are fundamental facts of the universe. It's, you don't even need a sociological understanding of what's going on to see it. And I've been killing myself for 8 years just trying to put this in the public discourse. And what do I know? At some Christmas miracle of 2024, suddenly people are alarmed at H-1B visas. Why are you alarmed? It's because it's a demographic question. It's never been about illegal immigration. It's never been about the Mexicans themselves are wrong or there's something wrong with them. No, there's something wrong with everything on this planet. Therefore, anything that you let in will be diluting yourself away, will be diluting your civilization away. No H-1B, no problem. People were pulling videos from the new Trump advisors, apparently talking about the strategy to get into the U.S.
This option is for both. It's the elephant in the room is just get married to a U.S. citizen, make that happen, figure it out.
This guy is the new Trump advisor.
Stay tuned for our upcoming episode on finding romance with people of the US.
I say it jokingly, but you'd be surprised how many people have to actively think about that now because, you know, anyway.
I'll just say, by the way, that's an untapped market opportunity here. By the way, we're talking obviously about, you know, people actually doing this.
This is the face. You can't make this shit up, but this is going to be the face of your grandchildren. They're gonna look like this.
This for the right reasons. But I know a lot of single American friends who have been looking for love for a very, very long time and have been unsuccessful, right? And they would love nothing better than a very smart, accomplished Indian boy or girl, right?
I don't know, bro. I don't know. A very smart, accomplished Indian. Of course, Nick Fuentes is saying, I told you so, and he should enjoy his I told you so, because he's one of the few commentators out there who have talked about this before the election, when it was relevant, and who has warned people. He says, I don't know who needs to hear this, but the latest push for H-1B visas actually has nothing to do with jocks and nerds or high school prom. It's about whether we want 500 million Indians to move here. Let's try to stay focused. Remember that the tech bro oligarchs are almost all immigrants themselves. They are wealthy, pro-gay, atheist, cosmopolitan liberals who bought the dip when Trump was at his lowest so that he could make them richer. They were never American nationalists. Extremely well seen by the man who has warned us before anyone else that this election was different and that voting for Trump meant different consequences. Alt-White sends $25 again. Thank you so much for the generosity tonight. He says over 90% of all the technological, social, economic advancements of history were created by white Europeans. If we focused on providing a decent education and moral support for our white youth, everything else would fall into place. Yes, I mean, this is not enough, though. You have to create a society in which white people are not repressed. Because a society in which white people are gatekept out of jobs is a society where the whole sector of employment ends up producing stuff that is anti-white. So it's not enough to just provide moral support for white people. You have to make sure that the left is not allowed to establish its anti-white cartel. Now, that is harder because the anti-white cartel has many components to it. There's the gatekeeping in preferential hiring against whites. There's the general hate against whites. There's the violence against whites, starting at the school level, and therefore we enter the public schools that are putting whites through this anti-meritocratic system that was built so that we could convert the other races that, oh, it's okay. It's okay. You can have your diploma too, just like the white person. And then we enter the violence against whites that are pushing whites away from big centers because these centers become parasitized by criminal culture. So in a way, I would say to your super chat, it's true, but certainly not enough. And the context in which we get moral support, white people don't even need moral support. They need there to be no moral discouragement to their existence. White people can do perfectly well on their own. We can see it in places in the Midwest where white populations, white cities have survived. But if you push them away in a systematic fashion like they do in big cities and in big centers like Silicon Valley, then you have a problem. Whites cannot handle infinite, unjust, unfair competition. Chef Marv says, tech bros aren't innovators. Everyone is already doing AI. Oh, yeah. I haven't seen much innovation coming from Silicon Valley, in the last few years. AI would be the exception. But again, even the idea of chatbots has been around. The only innovation was to take it to a degree where it feels good. It feels real. I wouldn't even qualify this as much of an innovation. Because if you want to be serious about talking about the growth of AI, you have to realize that in the last few years, we've been starting to talk about AI and label things as AI that we wouldn't 5 years ago. What's Google? Google is an AI. Google is almost a conversational AI. I mean, what were people doing in the early days of Google? They were typing a prompt. They were saying, hey, Google, tell me where I can find this, or tell me about this. So AI has been at the core of Silicon Valley's rise. From Facebook with their social AI, Twitter with their social AI that were basically trying to determine what is the best tweet to show, what is the best tweet that will attract attention. And Google AI that was basically surfing the web and guiding people to the right place. This is all AI. So to someone who say, when you see these crappy tweets from new Twitter accounts that are trying to rise, and I'm like a grandpa of X, and I'm looking at them, and it's like, the revolution of AI has been amazing. Here are the 10 top things that you may have missed in AI developments within the last 9 days. And I'm like, bro, this lacks perspective. People lack perspective these days. People lack so much perspective. It's all been AI from the start. There's a new label. It's a new label that became fashionable because one of the AIs became a chatbot. That's really what's happening. White nationalist says, ask JF if balkanizing is proactive. He went through a couple of months of proactive. What do you mean? Is balkanizing proactive? Certainly, yes. If you want to separate a part of a nation from the nation, it's going to have to be proactive to some extent. Now, this proactivity can happen in a context. Perhaps there's a military context where balkanizing becomes an easy solution. But other than this, yes, isolate for white flight to continue, for white flight and reconcentration to happen, it's going to have to be individual decisions of people wanting that to happen. White nationalist says, ask JF if he be not more focused. I don't know what you're talking about, bro. I don't know. Poopy Stinky Third Butt sends a super chat. What a nickname. He says, love your work. Glad you are back. Missed you a ton. What do you think of the out of Africa theory? I've been answering this question before, and I don't have much to say. Because the out of Africa theory has to be true in some way, but it doesn't have to be the only way. And it doesn't have to be the only thing that happened in human history. So people are very not careful when they first propose the out of Africa theory and when they fight against it too. I find all of these people very stupid. The people who fight against it and the people who support it. Because here's the thing. Certainly, black people and white people have some genes in common, okay? We're not two species coming from two different planets. There must be a point at which the shared genetic heritage between black people and white people and Asians has been shared and has been rooting from. Now, what that point was and what the percentage of interbreeding that happened after that point is up to question. And certainly there has to have been interbreeding happening after that point, because there is the Neanderthal part of the genome that is only present in Europeans and Asians, but not Africans. So certainly a part of the story is that there has to be had either an exit out of Africa or an entry into Africa for the Homo sapiens genes. And then there must have been separated breeding experiences, including the breeding with Neanderthal and the separate evolution of the different races in their respective points of origin. So then we're down to, okay, so the out of Africa versus into Africa hypothesis boils down to, did the Homo sapiens genes that are shared between blacks and whites, are they born in Middle East, Southern European places, maybe Western Asian place, and did they then spread into Africa? Or are they born at the tip of Africa, northeast, and some plain? And the difference between these two hypotheses, I swear to you, is a few hundred kilometers. Either the Homo sapiens genes are born at the extreme eastern northern part of Africa, and then they stepped into Israel and the Middle East, or they're born somewhere around the Israel, the Middle East, or India, or Pakistan, and they then moved a little bit into Africa. This is the difference between the out of Africa theory and the into Africa theory. I don't know about you, but I don't give much of a shit. I don't give much of a shit exactly where we can say that those were the first Homo sapiens. Because this is all happening in a context of flow of genes that includes Homo erectus, Homo australopithecus, Homo neanderthalis, just fucking each other in a gigantic orgy. And we're down to, oh, well, the first Homo sapien genes, were they technically into Africa? Or were they technically outside of Africa? You realize how little it changes? In the end, after whatever happened there between North Africa and the Middle East, and let's see it big. Let's take the whole of North Africa and the Middle East and even Southern Europe. Something happened there where there were Homo sapiens birthing, and these Homo sapiens genes spread everywhere. And as they were spreading in Asia and Europe, they fucked with Neanderthals. And as they were spreading into the deeper Africa territories, they didn't fuck with Neanderthals, perhaps because there were no Neanderthals there. No matter what, does it really matter whether we call it out of Africa or into Africa? Alt-White says, we are the Neanderthals. They evolved into us. This is why there is no Neanderthal DNA in Africa. You know, interbreeding, you can see it in whatever ways. You know, symbiotic relationships between organisms can lead you to a kind of bilateral view of the thing. So you can say the farmer farms pigs. You can say, no, it's the pigs that are farming farmers. The pigs are farming a marketing specialist human, Homo sapiens agent, just to do their marketing for their meat. But it's really the pigs that are farming the human. Okay, you can say this. Now, when you have interbreeding, you can say, well, the Neanderthal is taking in some Homo sapiens genes. Or you can say, oh, no, it's the Homo sapiens genes getting into the Neanderthal. Whatever. Tomatoes, tomatoes. You say tomatoes, I say tomato. Project Mayhem says the queen chicken subjects the human farmer. Yes. Oh my God, we had so much fun across the years. It's fun to be with you guys. It's fun to be with people who remember memes from years ago. Have we not developed a beautiful understanding of the world here on this show? Have we not developed a clearer understanding of the world that 99% people will ever be able to carry in their brain? Alt-White sends another $25. Thank you so much. He says, dominating the education system, the political arena, and demanding fair treatment of white youth in hiring are focused strategy. Simply waiting for the rut to collapse is an uncertain strategy. I agree with all this, and I agree with a mix of tactics. Some people may be black-pilled, and I wouldn't blame them, and may think that society is incorrigible. And in that case, that we have to let it fall, that we have to let it reach its absurd ending. Project Mayhem says, hey, Jeff, what do you reckon Elon's IQ is? I tend to think actually that IQ means nothing in those ranges. But I'm sure if he was to run a test, he might do 140 maybe. But I tend to think that really, because here's the thing. I can find you an Asian geek that scores 160. And I can guarantee to you that this Asian geek has less to bring to society than Elon. At 140. So you have to be careful with IQ in this range is actually not so predictive, even of scholar success. People don't pay attention to this because we always speak of IQ differentiating the 95 IQ with the 120. That's a good range. But when you arrive in the curve of scholar success and IQ, you have points in the 120, 130, 140 range that have equal success. And there's kind of a noisy success curve there. And that's because IQ, just the tests aren't good enough to mean anything once you're in that range. Silver Spider sends a super chat. He says, hey, Jeff, you said people become right-wing when they see that systems are vulnerable to parasitism. But now, seeing Elon's legal immigration plan, can conservatism ever, in the end, be anything but white, nationalistic, and maybe even socialistic? Seems like there will never be a true free market anyway. Those are important questions. First, I don't think that Elon qualifies as a fully transformed right-winger. I think Elon is a recovering addict of the woke mindset, of the liberal mindset. Now, as a recovering addict, he can stay sober for a couple of weeks, but I don't think that he has done the full move in his head to be the anti-parasite. I think what he does with companies is great. But I think he fails at taking what he does with companies, you know, firing 75% of the workforce. Now, that is something I love. And that shows much potential for Elon to truly think right wing. But I think he fails to transfer this knowledge, because for him, it makes sense financially. I think he fails to transfer this knowledge into a full political expression, which is that, yes, you're going to have to start thinking about genes. And this is where Elon has to understand that the very same parasitism that companies are the victim of when they stack more and more employees that are more and more dependent, that are producing less and less things of interest for the company, the same happens with the real world. The streets, the burnt halls of hospitals is filled with the same mechanism of parasitism, but where money is not the unit of dependency, but where actual human beings are the unit of dependency, and their dependency on the state to live on social welfare, or their incapacity to be productive members of society, and their exploitation of an open society to commit crimes or to live illegally. That is the exact same process where Elon understands you have to fire 75% of X. I'm not sure he understands that, yes, society building at some point requires an event of selection and requires people to die. And that in the past, those deaths have happened sometimes at the hand of military conflicts, of events of selection like the Black Plague, or there's events of selection that are needed to keep a population from falling into hyper-dependency. In the same way, the buying of X by Elon Musk was an event of selection to keep employees from drifting into uselessness. Now, people have been asking me at the beginning of the show, and people are talking about Canada becoming a state of the U.S. Shark Tank's Kevin O'Leary, a Canadian, says he likes the idea of combining the U.S. and Canadian economies. He says he's heading to Mar-a-Lago to start the talks. Canadian wants to hear more. What this could be is the beginning of an economic union. Give a common currency, figure out taxes across the board, get everything trading both ways, create a new, almost EU-like passport. I like this idea, and at least half of Canadians are interested. I'm going to go to Mar-a-Lago. I'll start the narrative. The 41 million Canadians, I think most of them would trust me on this deal. Look, I want to dream, and let me tell you, I am for Canada to be made a state of the U.S. I am, but here's the kicker. Here's the caveat. I'm interested in this because that would mean Trump coming to save Canada. And we would get, the government would get less big. Our lives would be more free. We would benefit from constitutional protection from the U.S. And therefore, for me, everything there is to be gained. But as a counselor of the American people, this is a very bad decision to do. Don't do it! If you were to integrate with Canada in whatever format, whether it's Canada being a state of the U.S. or whether you want to call it an economic and migratory union, and here's the problem. Canada has been careless with its demographic maintenance. And Canada has committed the errors that the U.S. is committing 20 years in advance. So we have, the problem is a Canadian passport doesn't mean that you are a white person of good character. Canadian passport at this point could mean that you're a terrorist. Could mean that you're whatever. It means nothing because too many people have been let in. So at the same time as I say, yes, I want Canada to become a U.S. state, to be saved personally from my Canadian oppressors. I will tell you, as a US person, you don't have any interest to do this, because that would mean that you are becoming potentially hurt by the bad Canadian political decision, which is a hyper-liberal country. Kraft9 says, as much as Vox Day was a piece of shit to you, I like his take on IQ as a parallel to artillery caliber. Basically, high IQ means you can do more, i.e. larger caliber, but it does not guarantee you are good at utilizing it. Conversely, you can be smaller caliber, yet excellent at your craft. Yeah, that's a good way to see it. White Nationalist says, Trump got to save us first. JF, we continue to trust the plan. I don't know if you're... are you trolling? I think you may be trolling. 9-year-old arrested in Baltimore for armed carjacking, robbery spree. If you want another reason to avoid the crime-ridden Democratic stronghold of Baltimore City, well, look no further than mobs of kids running around and committing senseless and armed carjackings. Yeah, I mean, this is the problem. What do we do with this? We are not fit as a society to handle this. Our society can handle a lot. We've handled our own criminal, which were coming at a small rate, enough to be mastered, enough to be pacified into a working society where property exists and freedom exists. What do you do when the 9-year-olds of your neighbors start being violent and messing up with your property? What do you do? We can't shoot them because you're going to get in trouble. You can't even punish them because the liberals don't want to. What can we do? Big Brain the Ape says, JF, I have an important question about determinism. Simple logic. If reality is that which contains all things, then anything that exists within reality must come from reality itself. Therefore, reality must have caused itself. There is nothing outside of it to cause it. Free will? Well, oh, that is fun. But it's so naive. To think that you're going to mess with the universe with some definitions in your brain, I mean, I admire this, because this is the kind of drive, the kind of questioning you've been doing to yourself. This is the kind of thing that leads to the great discoveries. And so I'm not laughing at you. I think the naivete that you carry in trying to accomplish this very bold project of trying to redefine stuff in your head in a way that suddenly you prove something about the universe, that is beautiful to me, because I know it's the route to great discovery, but it's also the route to fool's gold. You know, it's like 99% of the people who engage in this will fail and will reach circles of epistemological self-justifications, and they're going to be stuck in, and eventually they're going to be like, God, I found God. But it's great. Continue being that way. Now, to answer your question, the problem of this kind of thinking is always that you assume that there must be causes to everything, because you think causally, because from your own subjective experience, things are caused. I would challenge this. I don't even believe that things are caused. Now, call me crazy. I don't even believe that the universe is causal. There, I said it. Now, I believe that when we talk of cause, we are invoking out of reality fictive scenarios inherently. I believe that to think of it something as a cause is erroneous to begin with. Now, how can I think that way? That's quite scandalous, isn't it? Now you're going to tell me, JF, when your hand raises that little can of Pepsi up, you caused that can of Pepsi to go up. What do we mean when we say this anyways? You have observed that the can of Pepsi was going up. You can see the can of Pepsi is there. Now you see it there. What do you mean when you say your hand has caused it to go up? And what it boils down to is that you are invoking a parallel universe that doesn't exist, in which I didn't lift my hand. So this is extremely relevant to your circular thinking here, because I'm telling you, when you use the word cause, you unavoidably are talking about things that didn't happen. When you use the word cause, you are implying that something else would have happened if I wasn't there to cause it. When you use the word cause, you are saying, I have an umbrella of possible universes branching out. I have possibilities. I have things that did happen and things that did not happen. And when you say your hand caused the can to go up, you are talking about the scenarios in which it wouldn't have. And you claim to have the knowledge that without my hand having been there, the can would have stayed in place. Now, this is important because you start defining reality and the universe as everything that exists, but causes haven't been shown to exist there. If you want to treat the universe as a block of existence in its full, real implementation, you must deprive yourself of the concept of causes, because the concept of causes gives you a little veto into this definition. You have violated your own definition. By invoking causes, you have invoked theories about things that did not happen. Big Brain Ape says, well, look, you are taking in input from present normal moment reality, which in turn defines the reality that you find yourself in, which in turn determines the action you make and project out into reality, which in turn defines the input from present moment reality. It seems that only the you are real here. The past and future are not real. Only the decision creating coherency between an illusion of the past and the future, which actually don't exist. That is woo-woo, new age crap. Unlike your initial statement, which was an actual philosophical inquiry, now you are drifting into broad statements about time, which I fully reject. Project Mayhem sends $5. He says, Jeff, are you going to debate Tyrone, the twirly protein straw PhD, or did he puss out as expected? Yeah, there's this guy, Jan Copeland. You can't make this shit up. His name is Copeland. And he's coping now in Copeland. This guy started, but hey, I would like to be with this racist JF in a room. You know what I'm saying? I would teach him about his racist beliefs. And the guy has it that he's a PhD geneticist on his Twitter account. And so I'm like, I've actually asked myself the question, JF, do you want to debate this guy? No. Would it be pleasurable? No. Would it be informative for the audience? No. Is that a valid educational experience for everyone? No. But then I remembered, but you have the principle that you accept all debates. So you have to accept the debate. See, this kind of guy doesn't have principles like me. I was expecting absolutely no fun to be had in this debate, but I still said, what is challenging you to a debate in a room? What did I do? I contacted Andrew Wilson. Andrew Wilson accepted on Twitter publicly that we would have a debate. And then even Myron Gaines came in from the Fresh and Fit guys. Myron Gaines being a Nigerian, a fully black, sub-Saharan African. Like, you have here two high-profile channels, both very well known to be fair to their debaters, that have offered this guy, hey, you want to debate JF? We're going to make it happen. And Myron would make this happen in front of a crowd of 1.5 million people. So if you want to debunk the racist JF, you got your chance with two fully black hosts. I'll be the only white person in the room and a 1.5 million audience. You would be insane to say no to this. I know this because I'm a man of the internet. You do not say no to an audience of 1.5 million people. But Ian Copeland hopes, because he knows in the end that he cannot win a debate about race realism with me in a fair setting. And so what did Ian decide to do? He refuses Fresh and Fit and Andrew Wilson, two of the fairest and most popular debate channel. He chickened out. But of course, he didn't say, I chicken out. He imploded emotionally on Twitter, starting to make it about, I've said some debate conditions and they're not respecting it. So they're pussing out. What was his debate condition that he was requesting? He was requesting to be able to mute me at all times and to be able to speak himself indefinitely. He was requesting that I go to a Twitter space room that he controls. And he said, oh, we're going to make you mod. I don't care about being mod, because if I was mod, I would never use my mute power to silence my opponent. Because you guys know me. You know what's my debate etiquette. I let the other person talk a lot. In fact, I always make sure that their whole idea is there on the record. And I let them even pass over their time. And there's never been a case where I've been trying to spam or flood the other party with any sort of noise, or it's just never happened. So the problem is, you give me mud powers, I will do nothing with it. But you have mud powers and you're going to mute me, because yeah, in the end, it's the asymmetry, it's the whole story of black and white relationships in America. Injustice after injustice, we know that if you have the button, you're going to press it. Which is why it's good that a white person has the button. Anyway, so no, there doesn't look like... I mean, Myron Gaines is sad because he wanted to make it happen. And I don't care if it's in person or in Skype. I have accepted all conditions. But not his crazy conditions that he has to be able to mute me. That wouldn't even be interesting from a moderator perspective. I mean, Fresh and Fit want to hear the two sides of the conversation. So it's absolute nonsense to be asking for mute rights. And Andrew Wilson said, look, what you're demanding is absolutely insane. No, there's no moderator who will let this happen anywhere. Clashes erupt in the new Syria after the locals have ambushed and killed HTS fighters. Who knows what will happen with Syria, you know? Sometimes you make a big military move like Israel did, but then you're stuck with the shit of the locals and the long grind of war of attrition. Big Brain Ape says, I can't believe you completely dismissed what I said, even though the second thing I said is a logical conclusion from the first thing I said. I am disappointed ultimately about your logic, not as impressive as I thought it was. Let me finish with this, because I'm going to tell you, Big Brain Ape, you are a fucking retard. You don't matter in existence. I want you to think and conceive of this big ball that planet Earth is and realize how fucking small and insignificant you are. And when you smoke pot and you go into these, oh man, the prison slice. Oh man, I exist in the prison slice. And then there is nothing else than my projection into the future cone of light. And the you are rattling yourself into delusions. And this is not going to get your dick sucked. It's not going to make your bank account grow. And so I'm here. I'm here to shake you up. Son of a bitch, wake up! Wake up and be better! Your fucking delusions and thinking about philosophy and your feelings is worth nothing. Your entire body will be raped by bacteria. By the time the sun and the planets that roll around it have just clapped a little clip of the finger, you are insignificant. Your thoughts are insignificant. You do not have access to the truth. Your thoughts are full. They are virtual product of a machine to deceive that your own mind is. And there you are thinking that I should be amazed. Oh my God, Big Brain Ape has discovered the true nature of time and causality. No, you did not. You are a fucking retard.